Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Welcome, everybody, to Blog Talk Radio Show, where the Applause Radio Show. And tonight, Joanne interviews Billy Vera of Billy Vera and the Beaters. And Joanne, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you tonight, John?
Good. Can you hear me good tonight, Joanne?
Yes. Excellent. Excellent. Before we start, I just want to say welcome, fans, to Applause Radio Show, sponsored by KWV Wines, the show that gets you one step closer to your favorite celebrities. Tonight, we have Billy Vera. Billy Vera and the Beaters fame. And tonight, I'm just amazed at everything that Billy has done. Billy, are you with us?
I'm right here, hanging in.
Hi. Thanks, Billy. Thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much for joining the show. Should we jump right in? Or no, are you in California?
Yep, I'm in Los Angeles right now.
Oh, how's the earthquake situation out there?
Oh, it's about 120 miles away, so I'm
oh,
fine.
Thank God. Thank God for that. Well, I did want to start off, if you don't mind. Well, for those who don't know, I mean, how they don't know, Billy Vera and the Beaters Billy has written tremendous amount of songs, not only for himself, but many other artists as well. We're going to touch on that in the future program here. However, Billy Vera and the Beaters wrote At This Moment. It was originally released in 81, I believe. Right, Billy?
When it first came out, yeah. It came out in 81, yeah.
And then you got your resurgence, it was 80?
5 years later, yeah, thanks to a TV show called Family Ties.
Yeah, how did that happen? How'd they find your music and, you know, did they reach out to you to use it? I mean, how'd that go?
Well, after 81, 82, the record company we were on went out of business.
Oh, the ALF, right? ALF Records from Japan or something?
Alpha Records.
Mm.
And I was without a record deal for the next 5 years, eking out a living as an actor and playing clubs with the band.
Right.
And one day, phone rings, and a fellow answers, and he says, "Is this the same Billy Vera who has the band?" I said, "Yeah."
Uh-huh.
He said, "My name's Michael Whitehorn, and I produce and write a show called Family Ties."
Mm.
And I knew the show, of course. It
right.
was the number two show in the country at the
yes,
time.
Yes, it was, yep.
Right
yep.
after Cosby.
Yep.
And he said, "Well, we were at the club the other night, and we heard you do a song that we thought would fit in nicely with an episode we have coming up."
Excellent.
And I said, what song was that?" And he didn't know the title. So we figured out it was At This Moment, and I told him to call Warner Brothers, my publisher, and get a license for it, and
right.
so they could do it on the show. And I got a bag full of mail.
Nice.
And,
nice.
I had had songs on TV shows before, but never had gotten mail.
Right,
you know, usually
right.
they're in the background or whatever, and
right, because you also wrote the theme song for King of Queens and Empty Nest, which was on Empty Nest, I believe, was on before.
Well, they were both on
on the same time, right?
Yeah. Well, I think Empty Nest might have been before, and King of Queens was a few years later.
The songs that were when they picked the song to be in the Bruce Willis movie. Hello, welcome to the Applause Radio Show. You want to speak to Billy?
Yeah,
we're trying to get
Joanne.
Well, in the meantime, what I wanted to say to you was, now, it played in other shows. Now, was that after Family Ties, or was that Family Ties?
Well, I had had songs on other shows before, as I said, and then the other two songs that I did not write, I just sang them, were the theme songs of the shows you mentioned.
Oh, you didn't write them. I apologize. I thought you wrote them.
No, just sang them.
Well,
fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, too.
Yeah, I love King of Queens. I watch it every night. It's making me not sleep at night.
That turned out very well. You know, it's like having a hit record because the show was on for 9 seasons.
I know.
And
it's
still on now in syndication. So, you know, I get paid for that every time.
Exactly. I did have a question for you. Your dad was Bill McCord. Is there any reason why you're using Vera instead of McCord as your last name?
Yeah. When I was 16 and started singing, I had a manager who felt that if with the same name as my father, people
that's
might get
I
confused.
Thought. Yeah, that's
so
what
I knew
thought.
A girl whose name was Vera, and it had 4 letters, and I said, well, that could fit on the marquee in big letters.
Right.
And
like
so
that, like Exit. Like Exit. That's what I always wanted my name up in life. I think I'll change my name to Exit.
Right. There you go. Yeah.
Now, also, I wanted to ask you, do we have a caller there, John, or?
Yes, we do. Let me put her on.
Oh, excellent.
We have Waverly from Arizona has a question for Billy.
Hi, Waverly.
Are you there, Waverly?
Welcome to the Applause Radio Show.
Yes.
Waverly?
Oh, my.
Hi, Waverly. Thanks for calling.
Oh, my God. You have no idea what a pleasure it is to speak to you and just hear your voice. I know you must hate everybody asking you about at this moment, but those words are so emotional, and it's too personal to ask if those were written about a certain person, but those words are so personal to me that still to this day, when I hear them, I cry my eyes out after all these years.
Well,
that meant I did my job well.
Right. I was actually going to ask you if the song was based off of a true situation or...
Well,
that's
usually...
none of your business.
No, I don't mind telling. I had just started dating a young college girl in 1977. And she was telling me about breaking up with her previous boyfriend and how it crushed him, and he was so brokenhearted. So I started writing the song from what I perceived as his point of view, because she had described his heartbreak so well to me, you know.
Right.
And he was that he was that
finish,
nice about it. He was that nice about it. Because I hate to admit it, but I've actually gotten down on my knees and begged, but via phone call. And I have never begged for food, a job, anything. And when I begged for that relationship not to end, I mean, every time I heard that song, I was so angry that I wish I could have jumped through that phone and just beat the living you-know-what out of him for making me beg. And I couldn't imagine someone loving that hard and not wanting to not beat them to death, but, like, just not wanting to, like,
try to make it work after
but,
the
you know
time.
everybody reacts differently to a heartbreak, you know. Some people jump off a roof, some people walk away and laugh, and, you know.
But I was so upset and so devastated for over a year that every day, I mean, it just, you know, took me for such a loop. And
And the song helped you make it through, right? The song helped you make it through.
Oh, it's still to this day. I mean, even though it's, you know, I've moved on or whatever, but it's still to this day. I mean, I heard it today when I knew that you were going to be on the show, and it still hit me so hard that it just, like, it just brings back. And I said, oh, my God. And I remember, you know, of course, you know, with the Michael J. Fox, you know, the first time it was on. I mean, I was...
Sure.
A young adult, and it hurt back then, and I didn't even have a heartache. And I said, oh my God, that's such powerful words. And then who knew, 45 years later, I don't want to give away my age, but 45 years later, it would still have an impact on me. So kudos to you for writing the most beautiful song ever.
Thank you for sharing your feelings about it. Thank you.
Well, Billy,
I'm
going to
continue.
Billy's written also for other artists. Billy, I wanted
to
ask you, what song did you write for the Shirelles?
I wrote a song called Hung on Yourself,
which
was not one of their big ones. I was playing guitar for them at the time.
Wow.
And what about Fats Domino? What song did you write for him?
Fats recorded a song called Make Me Belong to You when he was, in the late 60s.
And one more, Ricky Nelson. What song
Ricky
did you write
Nelson
for?
Was Mean Old World. That was the first song I ever took to a publisher.
Wow.
I talk about beginner's luck, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, right. And for those of us who are rockers, too, I mean, Robert Plant covered Don't Look Back that you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that that must
what
have been
song?
An amazing experience.
What song was it?
Don't,
you broke up.
Don't Look Back.
Oh, wow. See,
yeah,
I knew you wrote a lot of songs.
It was recorded by a group called The Remains.
Right, right. It was your
And then all these years later, I decided to do it on my new album.
Excellent. And Billy has a new album out right now called Timeless. Is that song on Timeless, Billy?
It's called Timeless, and it's, you can get it on Amazon or CD Baby or... Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay, I'm going to hang up because I want to order it.
All right.
Oh,
all right,
thank
Waverly.
You so
thank
much.
Thank you, Waverly.
Oh,
thanks
thank
for
you.
Calling
and I'm going to put it on Facebook right now.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Waverly.
Yeah. So it must have been amazing to work with Nona Hendrix as well. I mean, you did songs with her, Bonnie Raitt. I mean, unbelievable. Your background is just amazing to me. I mean, you've worked with everybody under the sun, and, you know, and how do you feel about, this is a personal question. You worked with all these fantastic, great artists, and your hit was that song. Would you have wanted your hit to be with one of the other artists more so than at this moment? I mean, at this rate, we don't care what's a hit when we're in this business, but, you know.
Yeah, whatever works, you know. I mean,
exactly.
I was glad that I finally had a big hit of my own.
Right.
You know, I had a couple of hits in the 60s, but, you know, the 60s were long gone by 1987.
Right. And you're also an actor, too. So I'm sure you – I shouldn't say that. I'm sure you love music more, but what is your greatest love that you perform doing? Is it acting or is it music?
It's hard to say. I mean, I enjoy it all. You know, I love the music. I love the acting. Yeah.
Yeah, he's been in Baywatch, Boy Meets World, Beverly Hills 90210. Maybe they'll bring you back, huh?
Well, I had a recurring role in 90210.
Who did you play in 90210?
I played Jason Priestley's bookie.
Oh, God, I remember.
Had a gambling problem at one time.
Well, hopefully he has another gambling problem in the new in the new episode, and they can bring you back. You know what I mean? Let's resurrect the bookie.
right.
And a lot of people have also tried to resurrect at this moment. They've tried to redo it and really didn't have much luck with it, like Michael Bublé.
Michael Bublé sold over 10 million copies
of his album, not the specific
the
song.
The album, yeah. So I made a bunch of money off of that.
That's excellent. That's great.
I had a lot of nice people did it. Frida Payne, Tom Jones.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of people recorded it.
Right. I know. I'd never heard anybody do it other than you. But you officially started in country music, no?
No, I started in black music, in the rhythm and blues.
Ah, okay. And then found yourself in country, then found yourself in...
Well, I wasn't really in country. I did have a country number one record with Dolly Parton.
Right. I saw that.
She's got a song of mine called I Really Got the Feeling.
Oh, excellent.
Number one on the country charts in 1979.
Oh, great.
That was about 9 years after I hadn't had a hit in quite a while.
Oh, wow.
So it was a real relief almost.
Right, to have it, yeah. Now, I wanted to ask you also, you have a movie out and a book. I believe the movie is based off of the book called Harlem to Hollywood. Is that based on a true story? Tell us a little bit about that.
It's a documentary these fellows decided to do about me and my career. In fact, we've got Dolly in there and Dionne Warwick and Nona Hendrix is in there and Joey D from Joey D and the Starlighters and Richard Roundtree from Shaft.
Oh, I definitely got to check this out.
So
that's
it's pretty
great.
Cool. That's on Amazon also. You can, if you go on Amazon and just type in Harlem to Hollywood, you'll see both the book, which is my autobiography, and also the documentary. And people seem to like it, you know. So.
No, I'm sure it's great. It sounds fabulous. I mean, it chronicles your life in the industry. So I'm sure it's quite interesting, quite interesting. So you're also a music historian. You've been known as the musician's musician, the singer, the songwriter. You're also a voiceover artist.
Yeah, I stumbled onto that. I was doing a radio show on a local college station here in L.A. Once a week, you know, playing old R&B songs that I like. For free, by the way.
Right.
And one day I go into the studio and there's a message in my inbox said he's got an interesting voice. You believe him when he talks. Would he be interested in doing voiceovers? And at the time I could use the money, so I gave it a shot. And boy, it took off like crazy.
Yeah, voiceover actors make a lot of money.
Well, man, I got real lucky real fast, and I became one of the top guys in town.
Great.
For that, and I asked my dad, who was, of course, he made his living that way.
Right.
And I said, "You got any advice?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Show up early, work quickly, have no opinions, and don't give anybody any crap."
And they'll call you back.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. And when did you get your star on the Walk of Fame?
That came in 1988.
That must have been a thrill, huh?
It was a thrill, but it also scared me.
Yeah, right.
Angie Dickinson nominated me for that.
Oh, God.
And I was afraid that since I wasn't a big enough name, that people might, you know, resent me, you know? And I talked to her about that, and she said, no, you don't understand. She said, the Hollywood Walk of Fame is for people whose careers have contributed to the city of Hollywood.
Right.
In other words, you could be a Chuck Berry or somebody like that whose fame contributed not to Hollywood but to other parts of the country.
Mm.
So that what happens is somebody nominates you, in this case it was her.
Right.
And then the city council or the chamber of commerce, they vote on all the people that have been nominated. And I was lucky enough that they picked me.
Excellent. That's fantastic. I mean, your career is just really, really impressive. And I love the song, and I love that the story behind it, that it was released in 82 and then re-released in 85, you know, thanks to a TV show, and it's just fabulous. I mean, here's a quickie. Did you ever meet Michael J. Fox? I'm sure you have.
Yeah, I met him a couple of times. First time was before there was a Family Ties. My band and I played the rap party for a movie he made. What was that big movie? Back to the Future.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we played the rap party for that, and he came up on stage. And
I was going to ask you, did he play?
Yeah, he came up and did Johnny Be Good with us. And that was, you know, that was that. And then some years after the record was a hit, you know, I was asked to perform at the, what's the name of that network that plays all the old comedy shows?
Me TV or?
One of those, but not that one. Anyway, they were honoring Family Ties that year.
Oh, okay.
In New York, and so they flew me to New York and put me up at a Big Shot hotel and a whole bit.
Mm.
And so I would sing while they ran clips of the show, and then the whole cast was there.
Right.
So then I got to meet Michael J. Fox and his wife, and you know, he told me a funny thing. He says, "Man," he said, I always liked your song," he said. "But," he said, "now every time we go somewhere, they play it." I said, "I bet you're sick of it now, huh?"
Yeah, exactly. But you never get sick of it. You can't.
No, I'm grateful.
Exactly. We're just grateful for whatever happens. You did a lot of work at the Apollo as well.
I did. Yeah, that's where I first got known back in the 60s.
Right.
I had a partner, a singing partner named Judy Clay, who was a cousin of Dionne Warwick and Sissy Houston, you know, Whitney's mother. We had a couple of hit records, and we were very popular up there. We were the first interracial male-female duo that sang love songs.
Right.
And so people were a little...
taken aback, yeah, exactly.
Putting
us
up there, because it was only 1 month after Martin Luther King got killed.
Oh, really? Wow.
So, yeah, they were afraid that there might be, you know, some
dissension. A little bit of a problem, sure.
But the opposite happened. We just went over like gangbusters, and he moved us. He moved our spot on the show to right before the star, and so that became, you know, our spot.
Great.
And, you know, in those days, you did 7 days a week. You did five shows a day.
Right.
It was hard work up there, but I loved it. I used to be a customer as a kid.
Right, and then here you go. You're playing there.
That was a dream come true for me to play at the
Excellent.
Apollo.
Excellent. Hey, John, what's up?
We don't have any callers yet, Joanne. Joanne, you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Joanne?
Sir.
Okay,
yes, sir.
We don't have any callers yet. We're having a little bit of trouble with our switchboard, so we're trying to get some callers on.
Oh, excellent. Let us know.
I'll let you know when we get a caller.
You got it. Billy, on the new album, Timeless, are you going to have, some time to cry with Nona Hendricks? And are you going to also do, Don't Look Back and... the big one you had prior to we got with Pen in Hand with Bobby Glasper.
No, this is all new recording.
Oh, it's all new stuff. Oh, I was thinking with the name Timeless that you were going to be using some older stuff.
The reason I called it that is because I back when I first started writing songs many years ago, my mentor, who was a fellow named Chip Taylor, who wrote Wild Thing and Angel of the Morning.
Yep.
He told me, he said, try to write songs that you could picture people singing 20 years from now.
That's where
you make your real money.
Good
you know,
advice.
In the long run.
Right.
So
right.
I've always tried to write songs
that are timeless.
Way.
That are timeless, right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I was going through a bunch of songs that I had written over the years that I had never recorded. And so I found an album's worth, and I went in there with the best musicians in L.A. and
anyone we know that you collaborated with on it?
Well, there's a guy named Tom Manning who was Al Jarreau's musical director.
Oh, nice.
And Josh, this kid that was he was Etta James's musical director.
Mm.
You know, and a couple of guys that played with Bonnie Raitt and, you know, some really good people.
Well, you've also worked with Bonnie Raitt too, right?
Well, she recorded one of my songs called Papa Come Quick on her biggest album.
Oh, wow. Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've had a wonderful career. My goodness, my goodness.
Thank God I never had to do anything outside of show business.
Right, right. What else could you have done? Yeah, that's a good question. If you weren't a musician or an actor, what would you probably wound up doing?
I'd probably be on the street because I'm not equipped to do anything else.
You wouldn't do very well because they won't even get a veteran anything these days. So you wouldn't do
well. I don't know anything else with show business. You know, I grew up in it with my parents. You know,
right? Exactly. I know. You do some voiceovers for some cartoon characters on Cartoon Network. Can you name a few of those? I'm sure we have some people that have their grandchildren or children watching Cartoon Network.
I did Monsters.
Monsters Inc. Monsters Inc.
I think I did that one. Yeah.
Uh huh.
You know, you do them and you go home. You know, you forget about
exactly. Yeah. Well, now you're touring mainly on the West Coast these days, or are you?
Yeah, because it's awfully expensive for a band our size. You know, I got nine men in the band and
a lot of horns, everything.
A couple of crew guys, and you know, it's really, you know, it just I wouldn't make any money if I went on.
The band you use now, how many are original? Are you starting fresh?
There's only about. Three originals now left. You know, some of them have gone on to other things or just retired.
Right.
And then sometimes I work with a big 18-piece band.
Oh, that's big, yeah.
And that I can use, I can travel a little bit with that because I can use their written charts, you know, so
right.
I just get the best readers in town. You know, like I usually go to New York once a year. And play at a club there called Iridium.
Oh, I know where that is. Yeah.
Yeah, 51st and Broadway.
Nice.
And so I put together. I got a friend of mine back there that puts together a band of really good young jazz players.
Mm.
And they read what's on the paper and play great for me, you know. And
nice.
I get to play in New York and see a lot of my old friends from where I grew up.
Well, when's the next time you're coming out?
I don't have anything booked at the moment. I was just there about 6 months ago. We had a screening of our movie Harlem to Hollywood at the Harlem Film Festival.
Oh wow! I would have liked to have gone to that. So where can I see Harlem to Hollywood? Get it online or?
Yeah, get it on Amazon.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Like I said before.
Yeah.
You know, it's on Amazon. You just go there and go under movies and. Type in Billy Vera, Harlem, Hollywood.
And this is actual footage?
Hey, Billy,
or...
I have a question for Billy. Hey, Billy, when you write a song, what instrument do you use to compose it, and do you start with the melody, or do you have the lyrics written already and work the music into that? How do you go about doing that?
Well, I usually write on piano, although I have written some songs on guitar, but... 90% of the time it's on piano, and I just bang away until I get some chords that
click
that sound fresh, you
right.
know, to me that don't sound cliched and
right.
you know, run of the mill.
Until
and then maybe a line will come to me, or another
right.
line will come to me, and then maybe a story will just sort of come if I keep at it.
Excellent question.
Very nice.
Too, John. Yeah, excellent question. It's so funny. I went for an MRI the other day, and they said, you know, it's really loud. I said, no, well, to me, it sounds like music. I said, it sounds like a bass. It sounds, you know, it's like, and I said, am I weird that everything I hear sounds like music? It's crazy. Like if somebody says something to you, all of a sudden you'll get a melody in your head of what they just said, right? I mean, it's so weird how a song comes about.
Yeah, you never know.
Oh, but now in... Where are you playing next on the West Coast? Because we have people throughout the whole country listening, and New Zealand, believe it or not.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, we got one coming up August 1st at a place called Bogies.
Oh, nice.
Out in the valley.
All right.
Yeah,
everybody could just go to your Facebook page and get all this information as well. And
Either that or BillyVera.com.
Excellent. That's great.
Yeah. We always put the dates on there.
Right. Excellent.
People know what's what and what's going on.
Yeah, I definitely want to check out that Harlem to Hollywood. I definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, you'll dig it. A kid came up with some very rare footage of me and Judy Clay at the Apollo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, for some reason, people didn't think that rhythm and blues was important music.
Right.
And so you rarely find any footage from the Apollo Theater.
Oh,
and,
of
which
course.
Which is crazy because the Apollo was the epitome.
It was hopping.
The pinnacle of black show business.
Right.
And
right.
But there's hardly any footage there. So this kid was 18 at the time, and he had a little 16-millimeter camera, and he shot us for several shows. He shot us from right in the middle of the theater.
Nice.
And then the second show, he came around the side and he shot us from the wings. And then he shot some of us in the dressing room. And then he shot me in front of the marquee of the theater. So here you have this extremely rare
yeah.
footage, which is, I mean, that's worth the price of admission by itself.
Yeah, definitely. And it's so sad because, like, you know, there were some amazing artists back then that didn't get the recognition they deserved only because, I hate to say, you know, they were black. And at the time, you know, they weren't focusing on that, you know, and it's, and like you said, so many lost performances that can't even imagine how many there were at the time that were amazing.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there was, the theater ran about 48 weeks a year. It would close in the summer for a few weeks when it was too hot.
Right.
But they ran 7 days a week, sometimes four, five, or six shows a day, and then you'd have maybe 8 or 10 or 15 acts on the show, and you know, all the biggest stars, from you know, Aretha Franklin to James Brown to
right.
Ray Charles to
Jackie
Duke
Robinson,
to Count Basie,
yeah.
they all played at the Apollo.
Right, right. I know.
I mean, anybody who was. Anybody, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
Played it.
I wanted to ask you, well, not ask you, but I wanted to tell everybody that at this moment was supposedly, if I'm correct, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, was the last 45 printed that was like a number one hit. Tell me about that.
I've heard that. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's...
Oh.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I heard that too. That's why I wanted to ask your opinion.
I have no
on
way
it.
To check it out, but
right.
But I was told.
Well, I still have my 45s. I'm sure you do.
I got a gold one on my wall right in behind
you. I bet you do. I bet you do. Well, when you're coming back out to New York, let us know. You know, and when you're going to do a show or something, we're
yeah.
more than happy to let people know they can catch you there.
I will
and,
do that.
Yeah. So. Your schedule now is working weekends doing the gigs or at night?
Yeah, work a couple of times a month with the band, and I'm just finishing up a novel now.
Oh,
and,
really?
And I wrote, I got another book coming out in November.
Nice. What is that called?
It's called Rip It Up, The Story of Specialty Records. The Specialty was a record company that had Little Richard, Sam Cooke, and Lloyd Price, a lot of people like that.
Nice, nice.
On it. And this company, BMG, is putting out a series of small books about, each one is about an independent record company.
Oh, wow.
Old ones and new ones.
Right.
They've
already
done, I think, three. Mine's number four.
There were so many of them independent labels back then.
I don't think they're going to cover all of them, but
no,
you know, they're doing a few. And Specialty was very important, you know, as you could tell from the artists I mentioned.
Right. Do you ever hang out at the Brill Building at all in New York?
Well, when I was young, I was a staff songwriter at the Cooler Building, which is just up the street, 1650 Broadway.
Nice.
There were two buildings. The Brill Building was 1619,
which is gone now. It's gone. The building's still there, but it's like, I you don't know how many times I've walked past her and say, can I just go inside and just get a feeling of all all the great music that was created there? Yeah. Now you
A lot of people, you know, a lot of people think that it was all done at the Brill Building, but
I did.
A lot of the more important writers were at 1650. For example, Goffin and King, Mann and Weill, Sedaka and Greenfield.
Right.
They all worked out of 1650 Broadway.
Now, the Stoller you worked with, is
Mike
that
Stoller,
a...
Mike Stoller's in our film, Harlem to Hollywood.
And is he a son, or is he... Because you got Lieber and Stoller, so...
Yeah, Mike Stoller's the Stoller of Lieber and Stoller.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was actually the actual Stoller from Lieber and Stoller.
Yeah, they were... Mike, of course, Jerry Lieber's passed on.
Right.
But Mike's still with us, and they were both good friends of mine.
Oh, they were great writers. Oh, my God.
Oh, man, they contributed as much to rock and roll as
they shaped
anybody.
The music. Sure, they shaped the music. Totally.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got Carole King out there and, you know, everybody doing the Brill Building. But I thought that
Carole King, as I said, Jerry Goffin and Carole King, they were at 1650 Brill.
Oh, they were. Okay. Yeah, because they were a team. Yeah, the two of them wrote together. Mm-hmm. And I've always said that they should open that up and do like a museum or something, a tourist attraction. But I don't know if people would go to it because I don't know. But I know I would be there if they did that, if they opened it up. So,
yeah.
And Colony Records is gone. That's been gone for God knows how long. And that was another great place to hang out.
Oh, man. When Judy Clay and I had our record Storybook Children out in 1968, they did a whole window dedicated to our album.
Nice. Excellent.
Yeah. And so what happened in those days, there was a lot of hookers along that block.
Yes, there was.
And if I walked out to get out of 1650 to get lunch, you know, they'd look at the Colony Records window and they'd see me on the street and they'd yell at me, "Hey, there's that Mr. Storybook Children, Billy Vera." And all the hookers would wave at me and
Well,
I'd wave back at them, you know.
What was Storybook Children about?
Well, it was one of the first of a whole group of songs that were, I call them adultery songs.
Hmm.
It was about you know, two people that were in love with each other, but one of them was married to somebody else.
Right, right.
And
right.
You know, why can't we be like Storybook Children was the, the line of the song. And so but people thought we were singing Why Can't We Be Like Storybook Children because I was white and she was black.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. But that's really not what the song was about.
Yep, I could see that. I could see that happening.
But people
sure.
took it that way and fine,
right.
whatever it takes to make them buy the record.
I know, right? So do you ever do any, like, these the reunion tours that all these guys do? Because I know everybody from... I don't know, further back yesterday, music, they're really a tight-knit community. So, I mean, do you ever get
back
together
in
on
early,
those?
In the early 70s, there was an oldies revival, and starting with the Madison Square Garden show, and then there was a series of shows at the Academy of Music on 14th Street.
Nice.
And my band was the house band for 13 of those.
No kidding.
And so I got to play behind and you know, meet and befriend all of the great groups that I admired when I was a teenager.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Some of them are still friends of mine.
Excellent. That's nice. And like I said, it's a tight knit community, and I love that. I mean, you don't have that going on now. So it's nice that's still
Well, you
happened.
Know, the problem is that artists don't work together on the same shows like they did back in the 50s.
Definitely,
you know,
don't.
In the 50s, you had artists, or even the early 60s, you know, you might have 8 or 10 acts on the same show.
Right, and I
so
like
you'd
that.
You'd hang out in the dressing rooms
right.
between shows.
I like that because it's like a compilation. You know, you get more for your money when you go see a show like that. You know, in my opinion, that's how I like, if I'm going to see –
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to see one particular act, I'm going to see one particular act. But if I go to see, like, the compilation of all these different people doing a reunion tour, it's fantastic because you're definitely getting your money's worth, you know? You know, I mean, I've seen a few of them, and they're really good. And everybody's voice is still fantastic, crystal clear. It's amazing. And there are some that are in their 70s, 80s, and they're just still rocking it out, which is amazing to me.
Yeah.
You know, that's just great. And I've actually given advice to people. I said, if you're going to start your career, make sure you have a voice that you could finish with. You know, because I went to see, definitely not your style, but Guns N' Roses. And he definitely didn't have it. The band was fantastic, but Axl Rose, he could not hit those notes to save his life. And you know what? If you're going to start out like that, make sure you maintain it so you can finish like that. And we had Philip Bailey on the show the other night, and from Earth, Wind & Fire, and his voice is still so crystal clear and pristine. I mean, and he's such a falsetto. It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
And by the way, Prudential Center has given us 2 tickets to Philip Bailey's appearance tomorrow at the Grammy Museum Experience in Newark tomorrow night at 7 p.m. If anyone's interested, give us a call at 646-478-0999 to speak to Billy Vera or to win the tickets. We'd love to hear from you, and it'd be fantastic if you give us a call. And, Billy, you've been wonderful. We appreciate you calling so much. I mean, I'm really definitely going to pick up Harlem the Hollywood. I'm going to go online and check that out. And the book as well I'm going to look into. And the album, Timeless, I'd love to hear a piece of that. I haven't heard it. Yeah, I haven't checked into it. But anybody that is interested, they could get it at BillyVera.com. Or at Amazon. And you have your own Facebook, of course. You have your website with the band, The Beaters. And, I mean, they just pop your name and they'll find you. You know, it's not like going to the library anymore. It's looking through the file cards.
No, it's
easy. Yeah.
Really
easy. Yeah, all at your fingertips right now. So, but John, did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, I was just interested in how Billy started out. And let me ask you this, Billy. What do you think of the trend of the way music's going these days with everything computer automated, auto-tuned, and computer generated?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's not for me. You know, I like the old stuff. In fact, I even go back to the 1940s and the 30s and what I listen to now.
Right.
You know, I'm listening to Billie Holiday and Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington and stuff like that.
Right, right, the classics, I know. Well, me personally, I like real music. I like musicians playing the instruments. I like a person's voice that is raw, that doesn't need any touch-up, maybe a little reverb here. That's it.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I'm a big serious radio person, to be honest, because I usually like to keep up on what's out there. However, I just can't anymore. So I've been a serious person for 2 years now. I just can't. I just can't deal with the music that's on the radio nowadays.
I'm with you, kid.
Yeah, it's just not me. I mean, I don't know. It's just not music to me. I'm sorry. Someone posted today on Facebook. Now, I don't know if this is true or not. Someone came back and said it was fake news, but Kanye West posted something saying guitars ruined music. I said, are you kidding me? I said,
guitars?
Yeah. I said, you've got to be kidding me. And, well, this guy
has a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah, this guy talks out of his ass anyway. But I had a prominent journalist, music journalist, arguing with me back and forth over this. And I'm like, what is your problem, dude? It's like, it's my opinion. You have yours, I have mine. And he was like attacking me. I was like, are you kidding me? He goes, obviously you know nothing about music. I said, oh, really? Here we go. I said, I am a musician. I know how. He said, you don't know how a record's made. You don't know how to promote it. I was like, are you kidding me? Obviously this guy just doesn't know what he's talking about. So, but, I mean, that's.
You know what? It's not our job to educate them.
Exactly. That's what I said. I don't have the time for you because, and I want to say I don't have the time to educate you, but I want to leave it alone. I let it go. I blocked them because I can't. I'm not dealing with that anymore. So, yeah. So now, I wanted to ask you that. How about now, since everything is computerized these days, do you think the artists today deserve what they're getting based off of how we used to have to do it yourself, doing it much earlier than I have, and trying to get a record deal? I mean, you have a little animosity towards that.
There's really no more record business.
No, it's gone. It's done.
We knew it.
Right.
There's really no more record companies.
No, and it's ruined musicians' careers, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, on one hand, on the other hand, you know, a kid band, and a lot of young bands do this. They make their own little records in their garage or their bedroom, and
mm-hmm.
and they put them out on CD Baby or TuneCore or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they control everything themselves. So, and they get 100% of the sale price.
Well, that's the only good thing. Yeah, that's the only good thing.
So you don't have to sell as many records to
right.
make a good chunk of money as
right.
you would if you were with a big record company.
Right, right.
Hey, Joanne, we got a caller.
Excellent.
We got a caller from Jennifer. Jennifer has a question
for
Billy.
Absolutely.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the show. We've got Billy Vera on the show. You want to have a question?
Hi, Billy. How you doing?
Hey, Jennifer.
Just wanted to say your song, it's one of those songs that when you hear it, it just gets you. As a little girl, a Family Ties fan, so whenever I hear your song. I'm calling from New Jersey. I'm South Jersey.
Oh, okay. Okay, I grew up in New York in Westchester.
Okay.
Upstate, yeah.
You're local.
Nice.
Yeah, local enough, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a question for Billy?
Not really a question. Just wanted to call in and say, you know, I love your music. And for me, I grew up in the 80s, so you're one of those 80s artists that, like, when I hear your song, it just always gets me. It touches me. I'm a person, when I hear music, it makes me, you know, think of where I was and what was going on at that time. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be 40. It makes me think of my childhood.
Oh, you're just a child.
Right. You're a baby, right? Oh, no.
I was in love
with
Alex T. Keaton.
Jennifer, go on Amazon and check out my new CD, Timeless. I think they let you listen to a couple of the songs.
Oh, nice.
And if you like it, so you can listen before you buy it. And check
it
out.
I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it's great.
Sorry to call so late. I missed a good chunk of the interview, but I knew that you were on tonight, so I wanted to call and say just hello and support Joanne. I'm a listener of her show.
Yep, she followed us from my other show, which is great. So, So
do we still have those tickets to Joanne? Do we still have those tickets?
We do. We do.
Maybe Jennifer lives close by.
Jennifer.
Oh,
Jennifer doesn't live close enough to go. I used to live in North Jersey, and I moved. And I like Earth, Wind, and Fire, too, but I wouldn't be able to make it.
Oh, well.
I'm sorry.
No.
That's okay.
That's okay.
But, definitely make sure you pick up, I can't say pick up. Make sure you go
check it out. I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, Billy's book and movie, Harlem to Hollywood. It sounds fascinating. If you're into music, I mean, it sounds like a wonderful trail of history of what transpired from way back to get us to where we are now.
And also the new album,
Timeless.
Yeah.
Billy, did you get the grant?
Thank you,
did
Jennifer.
Did you get the grant?
Thanks.
Thank you,
have a good night, guys.
You too.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Bye, Billy.
Your Grammy win, was that for At This Moment, or was it for something else?
No. You know, a lot of the guys at the Grammys, they called me up. They felt so bad. They said, you know, you definitely would have won except for one problem. because the song had been originally issued in a previous year.
Oh, that's right.
It didn't qualify
right
for that year.
Oh,
and
dumb.
So he said, because everybody wanted to vote for you because you were the underdog, you know, and your record was great and blah, blah, blah. And but unfortunately, under the rules, you
right. Well, it was on the charts for like 21 weeks, right? Around that, 20, 21 weeks?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, amazing, amazing.
But
amazing.
I finally did win for writing the notes for a Ray Charles box set.
Oh, that's right. Also, Billy used to, do you still do that, Billy, write the liner notes?
Well, I've written a couple of hundred of them.
Right.
Over the years, but now that people aren't putting out CDs as much as they were, they're putting
right.
out mostly downloads, and so they don't need notes.
Right. It's amazing.
Unfortunately, but yeah. I, like I said, I wrote over a couple of hundred of them.
Right. It's amazing how technology has just taken so many jobs out. It's just
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
But, Billy, I love you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. If there's anything else you want to add to the listeners, let them know where they can.
Well, thank you all for buying my records and buying my songs, and don't forget me with my new stuff.
No, of course not.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, no, thank you. And when the new book comes out, please let us know. We would love to let people know that it's out and available.
I will do that.
All right, well, listen, Billy Vera from Billy Vera and the Beaters, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure. Please join us anytime at the Applause Radio Show. Always great talking to you, and can't wait to talk more if you want to call us back sometime.
Okay, Joanne, thank you for having me.
All right, thank you, Billy.
Thank
Have
you,
a
Billy.
Good night, honey. And be
Bye-bye,
safe. John. Be safe in California.
I will do that.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye, hon. Hey, John, I wanted to talk to you, let everybody know that Wednesday night we've got Mark Watson, lead singer from the Grassroots, joining us, which is excellent.
That's
Can't wait to have him on.
That's
and,
correct.
Yeah, so we do appreciate you guys calling, and we are sponsored by KWB Wines. You can find their website link on our website at www.applauseradioshow.com. And please feel free to go to our site anytime. You could. We're going to have some merchandise soon as well. And we're going to also have some other sponsors joining us very soon. And, John, anything you want to add?
Well, why don't you tell everybody who is lined up in the future, maybe, we get on the show, who's coming on?
Well, the thing is, everybody's tentative because everybody works. Our guests are all working musicians, working artists, so it's hard to get them on. So I will be attending Philip Bailey's appearance tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to that, and we could chat about that next time we're on. I believe we're on July 10th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard with Mark Dawson, lead singer of Grassroots. I have a million questions for him. Love the Grassroots. And Sunday, we're up in the air right now, Sunday. So that could be anybody. I like to call it my little treasure chest because we never know what treasure we're going to get calling us in and calling in for us. And it's always a great opportunity to speak to these guys. I mean, they basically shaped music. The actors, we haven't had an actor on yet. I mean, why don't we shoot for an actor for next Sunday? What do you think?
That would be good, and it's kind of like a surprise. You check out the website or you check out the Facebook page to see who's coming up. You never know who's going to be on the show.
Exactly, and you know, Applause Radio Show, it's the show that gets you one step closer to your favorite artist who sang or somebody who sang your favorite song, like Billy tonight. We have people calling saying how much the song at this moment made them, you know, affected them, and in regards to a relationship, and, you know, it was a great song, and he's got so many other songs, and his background is just tremendous. All these artists, their backgrounds are tremendous, and, if you can catch them doing reunion tours or catch them on the road sometime, please do, because they still sound fantastic. And like I said, most of them are in their 70s, 80s, and you would never know it. You would never know it. They sound so great. I was thinking maybe reaching out to, what do you think about Judy Tenuta?
That would be great.
Yeah, I love Judy Tenuta. Love to let people know what she's been doing. She's got a web show and a lot of fans on her fan base. And maybe I'll reach out to her. And also I was thinking about contacting, you know what? Since it's summertime, what do you think about a Beach Boy?
The Beach Boys would be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. We've got so many people that we can get on the show for you guys, because we love to talk about them, and they love to talk about themselves, too, because you know what? Nobody's talking to them about themselves anymore, and we don't like that. I know I don't.
People want to know where they are. People want to know where they are, what they're doing.
Right, and
they're up to. They're part of their lives. They're part of their lives and have been for all these years.
Yeah, I call it the soundtrack of our lives. And you know what? You hear that song and it takes you right back to where you were, what you were doing. And it's just amazing that they want to join us. And I love talking to them when they call in. And it's just been an absolute pleasure working with every caller we've had, working with you, John. John is fantastic, people. I don't know if you know, but John's also a movie director, and he's got a hit out there on his own right now. Tell him what it is, because I always call it the wrong thing.
Well, it's called Bigfoot Blood Trap, and it's available on Amazon.com and all the video stores, if there are any left. You can get a copy of Bigfoot Blood Trap.
Best Buy, Target, right? I mean, whoever carries DVDs.
Yeah, Best Buy's, Target. I don't know if Walmart has it. It's rated a little bit raunchy for them. But, you can get any main video store that's around. And I think you can also download it for pay-per-view also, too. Just check the web. Put in Bigfoot Blood Trap.
Yeah, I always say Bigfoot Blood Bath. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Blood is blood.
I don't know why. Oh, and I have to apologize for New Kids on the Block, everybody. I did get an invitation. However, I wasn't feeling well that evening, so I couldn't cover the event for you guys. But I believe I will be going to see J-Lo this week, and I would love to cover that show. And again, Philip Bailey tomorrow in for you East Coast folks at the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey at the Grammy Museum Experience. He does, they do an interview with him, and the interview is fantastic. And you're up close and personal. It's not just, you know, I'm sitting in nosebleed seats here. This is up close and personal, holds about maybe 60 people. And then after the interview, he does a little performance, and I can't wait to hear him a cappella if he's going to be by himself. I mean, his voice is just tremendous. And not only that, you actually get up to and meet him and take pictures with him and speak to him, ask him questions, and I love that. And that's why I love doing this show, because that's what we're trying to do for you, is get you in touch with that singer or that artist and actor that had – something imprinted in your mind that you can't let go. And also the reason I love doing this show is because, I don't know, maybe I can't get out of the past. What, there's something wrong with me? I mean, life was good then. I love it. So
when music was music, Joanne.
Yes,
music was music back then.
Yes, yes. Oh, you know who I want to have on too, John? I know you're in Philly, but we have a radio station out here. Well, I should say had. Called WPLJ 95.5. It's had many transitions.
I remember very well. Yep.
Yeah, it's had many transitions over the years, but I remember it growing up as being a rock station. And, you know, they recently went off the air to a religious station, believe it or not. And I was thinking about having them on a couple of the DJs from PLJ
sure.
and asking them
sure.
what they think about everything that's going on for them and what they're up to now.
That would be great.
And, yeah, so, no, we definitely have a great lineup. Unfortunately, everything is tentative name-wise because they're all working people. and it's hard to get them on because a lot of them,
well,
they have to do dates. Go ahead, honey.
Well, it's about
you
time.
Know,
our time is up now. Our time is up, Joanne.
Oh.
And
all
we
right.
just invite everybody back to see us
yep.
to Mark Dawson,
Wednesday
right?
Night. Yep, Mark Dawson, Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. He's the lead singer of the Grassroots. That's July 10th, 8 p.m. You could call us at 646-478-0999 or go listen to the show at www.applauseradioshow.com and just click on listen to the show live at Blog Talk, and you're right there. You just click on that, and you can hear the show. So looking forward to
Mark
Dawson.
Thank you, everybody.
And thank you for calling. Billy Vera, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Check our website, and you'll know what's going on.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, all. Night, John.